Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. This year, the homilies for our midweek Advent services are all focused on several Christians of old. We're going to focus on three saints for these midweek services. People just like you and me. People made holy, not by their works. Saints are not necessarily people who have done a certain number of miracles in their lifespan and these sorts of things. That's not the definition of a saint. The definition of a saint is someone who's been made holy by Christ, set apart by God. That's a saint. Christians are saints. You and I, we are saints. Not by our works, but by the faith we have in Christ Jesus, by his works. So this evening, we're going to look at St. Nicholas, the official day that the church has set aside to remember St. Nicholas's faith, made evident, as James says, by the works he did because of his faith in Christ, is December 6th, next Monday. So we're going to talk about these saints' days just before they come up on the calendar. So if you want to stop and think about them, if you have little ones, especially for this saint with St. Nicholas, you all know he's connected to a certain jolly guy in a red suit. So if you want to kind of use this for information, come next Monday with your grandchildren or friends that you know, people who come into the bookstore, whatever, go ahead. The Bramwell children grew up with particular St. Nicholas traditions. Every year, when my kids were younger, we would read them the true story of St. Nicholas, who this man was. And then we would put out their shoes, usually by the fireplace, but we didn't always live with the fireplace, so they'd put their shoes out. And in the morning, they would wake up and they'd find presents in them. And usually, they were little, something just to kind of kick off the season, get the spirits high. Oh, it's that Christmassy time again. And they usually were accompanied by little gold coins, chocolate coins, not real gold coins, but the kind you can actually eat when you bite them. In this way, Jessica and I introduced our kids to the man behind the larger-than-life legend of Santa Claus, and grounded them in the true source of the wonder that comes with this generous, selfless, gracious, jolly Christian figure. So who was St. Nicholas? Let's start with these gold coins. St. Nicholas lived in the 4th century. He died in 343 on December 6th, which is why we honor him on that day. He was a pastor. He was the bishop of Myra in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. Nicholas's parents died when he was a young man, and they left him with a large inheritance. And he, being a godly man, chose not to use that money on himself. He didn't want to buy, you know, the newest Porsche or take a trip to that, you know, really nice Victorian village up north where they could stay at that really fancy gingerbread mansion and splurge. No, he chose to use his money for the church's work of charity, to put his faith in action, to be, as James said, not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. As we know, money gets things done. He evidently knew well what the first century Jerusalem bishop, James, had taught in his letter, that faith is active along with our works, and faith is completed by our works. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so also faith, apart from works, is dead. James 2, 22 and 26. What one does, what a person does, reveals something about whether he has faith or not. It doesn't reveal everything, but our externals, what we are doing, does give an indication about our character and what motivates that character. Our faith. A situation to put his faith into action soon presented itself for Pastor Nicholas. A man with three daughters lost all his money, and the family was threatened by great sin and shame. You see, the eldest daughter, didn't have money for a dowry. And in those days, in that cultural context, she needed a dowry to be able to get married. So she was finding it very hard to be wed. And so she was becoming a burden on dad and the rest of the family, the other two sisters still in the house. Their poverty was inhibiting her to continue to live a godly life. Perhaps you understand that dire situations sometimes lead us to think in desperate ways, desperate reactions. We can tend to think that there's no other alternative than this thing. We become blinded in that way when things become dire. And so the consideration of prostitution as a solution to the family's financial hardship began to circulate in Myra. At least then, so the thought went, the family could eat. After all, prostitution is the oldest industry in the world, so they say. When that horrid rumor reached Pastor Nicholas, that sin was being considered as an answer to the problem, he would have none of it. Knowing a father's pride, he didn't just go up to dad and say, "Hey, look, man, let me give you some help." No, he decided to help the poor man save a little face, and he delivered a bag of gold through an open window under the cover of darkness. The eldest daughter had her dowry. Begone, thoughts of desperation. There is no provision for sin here. The Lord will provide. And so Nicholas did the same thing in time for the other two daughters as well. He was eventually caught in the act with the last girl. Dad found out. Had the poverty-stricken father, though, remembered this evening's gospel reading, St. Nicholas's gift-giving tradition would have never developed. Our lives would be completely different during this month. Did you know that the Santa Claus we think of, sort of off-book, little side note, do you know the Santa Claus we think of today? My brother told me this yesterday. He's only 90 years old. Coca-Cola introduced the guy that we think of, right, from all these traditions of handing down from St. Nicholas, but they sort of captured that thought for, as what we know of 90 years ago. George, you're as old as Santa Claus, my friend. Or as young as Santa Claus as it would be, right? That we tend to think that he's always been around in this jolly red persona. But no, before that, he was known as St. Nicholas, right? Had the poverty-stricken father remembered the gospel, we might not have Santa Claus today, because Pastor Nicholas wouldn't have had to go to such lengths to give him the help he needed. There would have been no reason for Nicholas to sneak the money into the window, because dad would have simply come to the church and asked for help. If he had sought help from Christ's under-shepherd, he would have found it. Pastor Nicholas would have responded to his knock by opening his door and with it, his treasury. See, God had already answered this man's prayer. He did that through the passing of Nicholas's parents. The two things unconnected from our perspective, but the one was the answer to the other. Nicholas would not have had the purse to give to this man had his parents not already died and left the money. God has an economy of love that is amazing, and we can't ever figure it out. What we need to do is trust it a little more. Trust that the man upstairs knows what we're going through and has already provided the answer to our prayer before we even ask it. A man's pride nearly led his children, his own three daughters, into the most vile of industries and sins. Like us, he didn't know his Bible very well. None of us do. Not well enough. Or perhaps he didn't believe that God would have already prepared an answer to even this problem. Sure, other problems, but not this problem. Do you ever think like that? Yeah, God, you know, he forgives sins, but this sin? God takes care of our needs, but this sin, this particular one? The devil likes us to ask that question. This one too? Yes, this one too. God died, Christ died for that sin too. Either way, whatever it was that the man was thinking, the lesson is clear for us tonight. Jesus' words are actually for our well-being. We are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. If only we would trust our Lord with a little more simplicity and not overthink everything. Now, the Greek histories add some more to this man, St. Nicholas. He's more than just this gift giver. He was a great churchman, too. The Greek histories agree that Nicholas suffered imprisonment for believing that Jesus was his Savior and that he made a magnificent confession of the faith in the latter part of the Diocletian persecution, which was the most severe Roman persecution of Christians in all of the empire. And it was the last wave to come about. As we know, Nicholas was also at the Council of Nicaea, which was called to order from the Emperor Constantine, who gave us the Nicene Creed. So Diocletian ended, and Constantine came to power, and with it the persecutions went away. He was said to be at that Council of Nicaea that gave us that creed, and to have done something quite unpastoral. He was such a devout pastor, a faithful pastor, that legend has it that as Arius, who gives us the Arian heresy, began to utter his lies to the other pastors at that council, Nicholas couldn't stand it anymore. And so he got up and he slugged Arius in the face. There's a whole legend that goes with this. Got the man defrocked. Nicholas was no longer a pastor. He was thrown in jail. And then he was restored by the Lord himself to his pastorate. So says the legend. That's legend. Well, St. Methodius writes history. And in his history, he says, thanks to the teachings of St. Nicholas, the metropolis of Myra alone was untouched by the filth of that Arian heresy, which it firmly rejected as a death-dealing poison. Pastor Nicholas was a faithful Christian pastor, so adamant that the truth be taught in its purity that the entire city wherein he served God's people was spared from the most pervasive false teaching of the time. False teaching that took the emperor himself calling a council to squash. Only Myra was spared this filth, and it was by a faithful pastor who would have it not enter his city. But now, certainly, keeping a popular teaching at bay from taking root among a population of people cannot be done by one man, right? It took more than just Nicholas. As Methodius says, it was by Nicholas's teaching, which means Nicholas taught and Christians listened. And they were not just hearers of the word, as James says, but doers of the word. They helped him keep the community safe from the devil's lies as it would pop up. You can imagine how it went down. Melia, my sweet, how are you today? So good to see you. Oh, I'm very well, Elena. I have to tell you, I have some exciting news happening in my house. My whole house is abuzz. We have a cousin staying in town from Patera, and he's brought with him this strange new teaching. Oh? Yes, he's come and he said that in this finest way that we've been misinterpreting Scripture all these years. Last night he said that Christ, while being a special creation of God, very unique, is not, however, co-equal with the Father. Melia, that's the Arian heresy. Haven't you been listening to Pastor Nicholas's teaching? The church hasn't misinterpreted anything. Your cousin has been led astray. And you too will be if you keep listening. Come, let us return to church. let us see what Scripture says. Now, I chose a female example, a womanly example of this exchange, because I have this suspicion that if Pastor Nicholas did punch Arius in the face at a formal church council, that probably the men of Myra weren't going to talk too much when the heretics started gassing off. So I couldn't really think of what to say, and I didn't want to punch LJ as an example. So, who knows? But the point for tonight is steadfast faith. Zealous and firm. And without a problem being that. There's no shame in that. We can have all the black eyes we want. The world can say we're sticks in the mud and we're wet blankets and they can call us legalistic, whatever. Steadfast is the proper term. Faithful to what Scripture says. That is what we glean from the life of this ancient Christian pastor that the whole world knows of. He is second only to Mary in all of the writings of the saints, the histories of the Christian people outside of the God himself. Mary is the only one who gets more ink spilled than Nicholas. Steadfast faith is what we strive for, to be like Santa Claus, trusting that with faith comes works, faith in action. And these works are part of God's provision for his people. They are part of the economy of love that Christ has instituted. When we know our Bible, when we know what Scripture says, we have what we need to guard ourselves against sin, against false teaching, and we're able to live by faith alone. Our Father in heaven gave us his only son, just as St. Nicholas gave the poor family what they needed to avoid a life of sin, and as he gave his parishioners what they needed to be able to correct error and guide their friends and family to truth, to avoid heresy. Jesus is what we need to avoid sin, and Jesus is what we need to shut down false teaching. If he was willing to be born into our world, Jesus, to live a human life, to die for us and save us from sin, and he was, then certainly he's willing to help you with your day-to-day temptations in sin, your encounters with false teaching. St. Nicholas knew this. You do too. For we make no provision for sin here. Your God has provided you with the answer to all your prayers, just as he provided gold coins for a poor family to keep them from a life of sin. Jesus Christ crucified for you is the answer. The cross is the answer. That is your treasure, worth far more than gold coins. And it is your answer for your daily life in real situations. Not just spiritual thoughts, but in the mud, figuring it out. Sin is never the answer. Christ is the answer. Our Father truly knows how to give good things to his children. He has given us the treasure of Jesus, our Christ. Amen. Amen.